Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Take a bow. That's right.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
You're seeing the development of a real quarterback. While he's developing, he's entertaining as hell. I watched his quarterback play. I think there's a bright, bright future in Chicago.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
Kevondre Sweat. He's the best rookie defensive lineman I've watched all day. Like the quick escape on the swim right here. Beating Jenkins cleanly and getting Caleb out of the pocket, forcing to throw it away on third down and three. It's T-Pain. He just brings the pain is what he does.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
He got something to cheer about in Chi-Town.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Morning,
hey, Baldy, how are you?
How's it going?
Well, good morning, guys. Good to join you here. Nice to hear your voices. I'm doing great. I'm right here in my film room, kind of get some things ready for week two here. So I'm just looking ahead right now like everybody else.
So we were talking about it. We've been talking about it all week, that the fear for the Bears is that the Bears interior line under looking so suspect and under so much scrutiny may be replaced by the offensive tackles this week playing against a Houston team that is stronger in a different place on the line, if I can put it that way.
Well, they're a formidable defense, period. I mean, yes, Will Anderson, you know, and Danielle Hunter are great off the edge. They were very good against the Colts on Sunday. But it is going to be a challenge. But they've got great players, you know, whether it's, you know, Stingley or Jalen Petrie or Azir Alshire. I mean, those guys got great speed and great skill, and they're very, very well coached. So, but look, the Colts put up a big number on them on Sunday. They gave up a lot of big plays. I'm sure the Bears have studied it all week. They got behind that defense a bunch. Anthony Richardson looked like Aaron Judge in a football uniform. So there's things that, you know, you can definitely, if you block them up, there's plays to be made for sure.
I think Caleb Williams would settle for a couple ground rule doubles or maybe even just a few singles just to get going, Baldy. He did not play well, as everybody knows. Curious, as you study the tape, if anything emerged as a consistent problem or something that can't be corrected. What do you think about Caleb Williams heading into week two?
Well, I mean, how many balls did he get batted down?
Three.
I mean, that's disturbing. Like, you can see one or two, you know, on these, you know, these lateral screens where somebody gets a hand in. But the plays over the middle of the field, you know, and so you go, okay, well, why is that? You know, is he just locking in on one receiver and guys are just, you know, watching him lock in and then just timing the jump or the hands or whatever? Like, yes, he was inaccurate with the ball. Some of the offense makes no sense to me. Third and three, why you want to throw a spray fade down the field, 40 yards down the field, you know, to a young receiver like Carter. I don't understand some of that stuff. But, you know, the accuracy things are things that would be concerning until it isn't concerning. It always is if you can't put the ball where you got to put it. And then the bat downs at the line of scrimmage is something to be concerned about. It's only one game, but you kind of want to go through a game and not have that happen.
Yeah, we talked with our contributor, Olin Krutz, earlier in the week. We were asking him, because he spent the year in New Orleans, how they combated that with Drew Brees, and who is shorter than Caleb. And Caleb is over, he's 6'1 plus, and we understand he's slightly built. But, you know, you want a guy 6'4". I get all the numbers. I'm just wondering if indeed you had like a Pro Bowl guard, if indeed you had what they tried to do in New Orleans, a clean pocket, would that be a different situation? Would the passing lanes be more obvious to him and is part of what we saw on the protection as well?
Well, the protection wasn't good. You know, the rookie, like I mentioned in your, you know, little lead in here today, you know, Kevondre Sweat was a handful for Jenkins. Simmons is a handful for anybody in this business. I don't care if you're a Pro Bowl offensive lineman, that guy's just a great player, powerful player. protection is always an issue. But, you know, you go back to Drew Brees. I mean, the guy was a state champion tennis player in Austin, Texas. The guy's got tremendous feet. And so when you watch Drew Brees play, every time he changed or moved with progressions from, you know, 1 to 2 to 3, his footwork changed. His footwork was always perfect. And so that's something where, you know, maybe Cale's gotten away with a lot of things where footwork didn't have to be perfect. I mean, Mahomes has gotten away with it throughout his whole career. Josh Allen's gotten away with it. All right. But, you know, if you're getting balls batted down, you got to be able to throw it through the trees. And you're going to have to move in order to do that. And when you move, your footwork has to move. And so I think it's a mechanical thing. But I don't think it has anything to do with height or how tall you are. Yeah, I mean, if you're 6'6", like Josh Allen, it's a little bit easier to throw over the trees. But nonetheless, if you're just staring down receivers, these defensive linemen are taught that if you're not getting there, get your hands up, get in the passing lane, and, you know, obstruct the view as much as you can. And so I do think that's something, you know, against Houston this weekend where it's worth taking a long look at and see if that issue shows up again.
Baldy, Daryl Taylor made an impact immediately with 2 sacks, including the strip sack fumble. And Matt Eberflus talked about just his burst and just his initial first step. What did you see? And do you think that the way that he played in the first game is sustainable? What does he need to do to make sure that he makes an impact each and every week?
I remember studying that kid when he came out of Tennessee. Like, he was kind of a natural pass rusher. He's got great speed to power. He can bend enough, like he did around the rookie tackle, Latham, to make the play that he made. Look, I mean, he's been a situational player. He's never really been a full-time starter where he's played 70% of the snaps like that, but he's been, like they used him, he's been that type of player where he could give you good pass rush. I was surprised Seattle let him go. I know they like Boye Mafe up there and some guys, but I was surprised that they could get him. I mean, they did their homework on him now. Ryan Poles did a good job. He's a good football player, and they need pass rush. You know, the rookie, you know, he played 6 plays. Like, he can't do what Taylor did on Sunday yet. You know, he almost needs a redshirt year for these rookies. But I think Daryl Taylor is going to help this football team. They need to be able to get home and affect the quarterback with just your front four. And that was encouraging to see that from Taylor. When they made the deal, I was surprised Seattle did it, and then I was surprised at how little Chicago had to give up.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. And, Brian, we haven't talked to you since you got back from Brazil. Obviously, your Eagles took down the Packers, a very competitive game. Jordan Love comes out of that with an MCL injury. Was that related to the field? Do you think that was a factor in it? And I'm just curious, you know, we talk about the Bears and the situation they're in their division. They kind of, with Detroit in the division and Green Bay having both made the playoffs and won, you needed something bad to happen at some point to somebody. It might be a real opportunity if indeed Jordan Love is out for whatever they're saying, 3 to 6 weeks.
Well, a couple things. One, the field wasn't good. I was on the field before the game, and everybody slipped. A.J. Brown slipped in the end zone. Ball gets intercepted by Jair Alexander. I mean, everybody slipped in that game. I don't care what position you're at. So that's unfortunate. I don't know if it's related to it or not. Happened on the second last play of the game. Yep. But I said this in preseason. I said the Packers better trade for Taylor Heineke as a backup quarterback, because what they had on the roster wasn't good enough if something like this did happen to Jordan. And now, you know, you trade for Malik Willis, who's very inexperienced. He's still very raw, even though this is his third year in the league. And now he's trying to learn a new offense. Like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for Green Bay right now during this stretch. I said that they probably have the best young core receivers in this business, but it doesn't matter if your quarterback can't get him the ball. Matt LaFleur is a great coach. I'm sure he's going to cobble a game plan together to accommodate Malik, but the offense isn't going to look anything like what we're used to seeing under Jordan Love.
Are the Bears better than the Packers then?
Well, if you're blocking punts for touchdowns and, you know, picking sixes and, and you're doing that, yeah, they're better than everybody in the division. But, I mean, if I was the Bears, I wouldn't be thinking too much about the Packers. I'd be thinking about, you know, trying to get a passing game put together right now and, you know, try to develop a running game and, you know, maybe on third down and three, not throw four deep routes, you know, into it and just trying to sustain offense and stay on the field and get a first down. I think there was plenty of blame to go around for all that offense on Sunday.
How long does it take a new offensive coordinator like Shane Waldron to get used to his personnel, to get into a rhythm play calling? He has experience doing the job, Baldy. It's not like past guys they have hired that this is their first opportunity. What's the grace period for an OC?
Well, it's the OC is the OC. He's new. Okay. But everybody has to understand what they're doing too. And there were plays out there where they're just head scratchers. Like, what is the play? Because nobody's looking for the ball, but Caleb's looking to throw it. You know, like the timing wasn't good on a number of plays, not just one, a number of plays. You know, the quarterback has to catch the center snap. You know, you can't drop it. The play's dead. You know, so there's some things for sure that they got to clean up. But, you know, how long does it take? You would hope that, you know, by the time you get to week one, that they'd be a little bit better at understanding, you know, the down distance situation and that kind of thing. The best thing is they came out of it with the win. That's just the best. That's a good bromide for anything. But hopefully they got back to the practice field and they got a lot of good work done this week because they're going to see a great team this weekend.
Yeah. I think what's interesting, Brian, is that when we think about the Bears offense with the new coordinator, we don't know what their identity is. We don't know. It's not like you can look at, hey, well, at least they're going to be able to run the ball and they love to do this play.
Yeah.
We don't have any idea what they're going to be able to do because they didn't even show it.
Well, I mean, I just didn't understand some of Caleb was in an empty set with five receivers on nine different plays. Like, that's not exactly how you protect your rookie quarterback. I mean, there's some things they did in the screen game and everything that helps any young quarterback. But, like, you know, it's not like he's Patrick Mahomes going out there and you can just go empty and he's going to make a quick read and an accurate stick throw and make you pay. Like, I just thought that it was a little too wide open for me with, you know, everybody learning a new offense and, you know, just so much new personnel on the offense, like to just go out and play like that. Like, I didn't think that was the right formula.
What did you think of the way that Matt Eberflus spoke about Velus Jones post-game, and what would you do with Velus Jones now?
Well, what did he say?
He said he was proud of him. He said he was proud of him. The way he came back from that mistake and carried the ball without fumbling, he said he was proud of the way he persevered, and it sounded like they were going to give him another chance, and yet the Bears did bring in David Wallace, a veteran kick returner,
they brought
on Tuesday
in seven guys in the
for
ton
a tryout.
Of them. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's never a good sign. Baylor's had a good preseason last game. You know, he did carry the ball at running back. They did throw it to him. He looks like he's part of the offense at this point. I don't know what's going to happen at kickoff return. I mean, it's been a big nothing burger for the most part in this business. Yeah. Teams look pretty content just to kick out of the end zone and start at the 30. You know, maybe Chicago takes that approach. They certainly got a kicker that could do that. So, but I don't, you know, if they were going to make a move with him, they would have already done it this week.
Yeah, but I think what was you couldn't help but notice is DeAndre Carter, who is their punt returner. Velus can't return punts because he dropped the ball a few times. So they have him move to kick returner after that flub, and he gets a 66-yard return. And they got a better option. So that, I think what you're bringing up is very interesting. Do they feel that he is helpful to them as a running back, even though that's not his natural position and they tried him there as a way to get him on the roster? I was saying to David, I might give him a week off. I might have him on the inactive list and have a Tyler Scott play because they've got some concerns at wide receiver. Roma Dunze has a sprained knee and is day-to-day, they claim, but I don't know that he's ready to go. And Keenan Allen still has a heel problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got depth at running back, so the fact that he's even carrying the ball with what they have there was surprising to me in that game.
When you look at the Bears secondary, how good is it? Tyreek Stevenson, NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Jalen Johnson probably had the best metrics of any cornerback in week one. This is a deep and talented group, Baldy. I think it's certainly the strength of this team. I wonder how good, when you compare it to the rest of the secondaries around the league, it is.
It's good. It's really good. I mean, I'm interested to see. I mean, Brisker is a player, and Kyler Gordon's got his role. And I think they're really good on the edges, you know, with Jalen and Tyreek. The X factor right now to me, I'm a huge Kevin Byard fan. You know, I've studied that kid since he was at Middle Tennessee State. I don't know. I think he's got 30-something career interceptions. He did not play well in Philadelphia when they brought him in last year, but nobody played well on defense. The guy's is got great ball instincts. He just does. And he really is a smart player. He really can explain the game. I'm curious to see what they get out of Kevin, if he still has a lot left or if he doesn't. I mean, that's the one concern, because I love the person and I love the player and his history. I don't know whether his speed or range is quite what it was a couple of years ago, but I wouldn't give up on him. Like he knows defense, and he knows schemes, and he knows exactly how to get to the ball. That's the guy. I'm kind of curious how he plays in this defense right now.
Brian, we'll let you go. Thank you, buddy. Great stuff.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brian.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. He is the host of the Best Football Show podcast, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
My game day is always delicious with, you know, Hellman mayonnaise.
See? I'm making you a BLT.
Thank you very much, buddy.
You're going to love it.
Let me ask you a question I was going to ask Baldy.
Okay, sure.
But he's obviously a busy guy. So the league faces two different crises after week one, I think, from a commissioner's level, from a image level, from a crisis management standpoint.
Okay. Is one of them the quarterback play? Is that preseason?
No, that's probably low level.
Oh, okay.
That's performance related. This is image related.
Let's go.
Which is a bigger deal, do you think, to stick your nose in if you're Roger Goodell, or to find out what's going on? How the 49ers may have circumvented or deceived the injury report situation by waiting until 90 minutes before kickoff to rule Christian McCaffrey inactive.
Is unlikely to play this week.
Again, but yeah, maybe they knew that the Friday before, as the backup indicated, or the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland, which includes him now facing a new allegation from 2020, and there's language in his contract that if it gets too far afield, they could void the guaranteed money remaining, and the way that he has played, this gives them an out, and you wonder how much more bad publicity one franchise can take on, and Deshaun Watson is bad for the league right now.
Okay, so two very different stories.
Very different, but both crises.
Both are very important. I think that they have to handle the injury list thing immediately in order to prevent other teams from kind of doing the same kind of manipulation, which we know teams like to do. So I think you got to come down hard on them, and you got to do some, even if it's privately, even if you don't end up kind of doing it publicly, I think you got to do something about it and make sure every team knows about it, which means it's going to come
out. I agree with that approach.
Okay. Now, as far as the Cleveland situation is, I think we've seen him already suspended over other elements.
Personal conduct policy was violated.
And is this in the same time frame as those? I saw it was from 2020, so I don't know if that is after or around the same time as the other charges that were against him. And I think either way.
So you wonder about double jeopardy?
Well,
essentially,
I would be aware of that possibility, but this is the biggest thing. I personally, and I don't know what Roger Goodell thinks, I wouldn't be giving Cleveland any breaks on their salary cap or on the amount of money they invested in a guy that they knew this was a story, that this was a problem.
Oh, no, there's no chance of that.
Well, no, but you're asking. They want out of that contract.
They do.
And they're hoping they can use whatever this is. I'm imagining, because he's god-awful as a player.
He's god-awful. He's not the same player.
He was terrible. But, David, if he was good, they wouldn't want out, and they would be defending him and doing everything human.
That's exactly right.
So I give them no break at all, because they're the ones that signed him knowing that these character problems existed and they didn't care.
They deserve all that's coming to them. I totally agree 150% with that. Absolutely. He's disgusting. And I think that you look at this latest allegation should come as no surprise. I do wonder, though, if they would be less interested in that, what you're describing as cap relief, if they would be given some cash relief. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
If they're allowed out of the contract, they may not care about the capital implications.
No.
As long as they can move on.
Yeah, I'm
sorry. Those are two bad things coming out of week one that are off the field.
They made one of the all-time bad decisions / immoral decisions. So eat it. You should have to deal with it.
Eat it. Just eat it. Thanks, Weird Al.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Hey, we got a very special announcement coming. We'll make it as soon as we get back from the break. You're going to love this one. It's really a wonderful thing for you. So stay tuned. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
I love Billy D, man. Billy D is one heck of a person and coach. You know, my time there, the way he embraced me, the way he allowed me to step in and be the leader that I was. He a great man, great coach, great guy. I feel like he don't get the props that he fully deserved as a
underrated,
coach.
Underrated, huh? Underrated.
He's definitely underrated, you know, for sure. And I wish him nothing but the best. You know, he allowed me to be myself coming to Chicago. You know, he made it easy for all of us. You know, I got nothing but love and respect for Billy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That is the voice of DeMar DeRozan. He was on ESPN yesterday, and he has great things to say about Billy Donovan. And we have something special for everyone.
We do.
We had a great breakfast with a bunch of listeners recently in the performance studio down the hall, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, and we enjoyed it so much, we're going to do it again.
We're going to do it again.
And we're going to do it with Billy Donovan.
Ooh.
Breakfast with Billy.
Yes.
So keep listening. You'll get your chance to be part of a live studio audience. It will be in a couple weeks. It'll be on September 25th.
It's a Wednesday.
We will be broadcasting from 6 to 10 a.m., at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. It's up here on the ninth floor of the Prudential Building. Mm-hmm. And we'll be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan. He'll be in studio during the 8 o'clock hour that morning. And it's also, of course, brought to you by the fine folks Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
A few days before the Bulls have their official media day, yep. I believe. They start the season and training camp soon, right around the corner, 2 weeks from Wednesday. It's on a Wednesday. Come join us. Have breakfast. It'll be catered. It'll be fun. It'll be festive and delicious. And plus, you'll get insight from Billy Donovan, who, as you heard from DeMar DeRozan, class act. What a class act.
Yeah, no doubt about
DeRozan. Is it going to miss him? Going to miss him in a lot of different ways. Had some nice things to say about Billy Donovan. So before you know it, we're going to be asking Billy Donovan about Lonzo Ball, et cetera, et cetera. The Bulls have made some moves. The Bulls have
Did you see their draft pick throw out the first pitch of the Sox game?
How did he do?
I don't know. I just saw that he did it. I didn't study it closely.
I don't think that
Matez
Buzelis has got baseball in his background, does he?
I would imagine not. They don't play a ton of baseball.
Speaking of local guys, Talen Horton Tucker signed with the Bulls.
I saw that. That's another Simeon
guy. Another Simeon guy.
That's right.
He also is interesting. We need to keep an eye on this one.
Yeah.
Talen Horton Tucker and Ayo Dosunmu, I think, came out the same year, didn't they? And I think that they were high school rivals, if I recall correctly. Ayo at Morgan Park.
Yes.
Horton Tucker at Simeon.
Yep.
I think both of them were recruited by Illinois, and only one went there.
Did you see that Chuck Love was recruited by Illinois four-star athlete from Lalu. He is a 6'7 swing man.
Missed that one.
And he made his college decision yesterday.
Missed that one.
Go Ramblers!
Okay.
Top 100 player.
We're talking Bulls.
You brought up.
I'm
you
dealing
brought up,
with this nice little
You brought
friction.
Up high schools in Illinois.
I got the locker room low.
And the Ramblers stare down Illinois. Why can't I mention
it? All right, go Ramblers. I think it's a terrific decision by the young man to pick a program as his first college that he will attend in his college career.
Texter wants to know, is Schmaltz Deli hooking you up? Yes, that is exactly what will happen. We will have a free breakfast for everyone with Billy Donovan. Breakfast with Billy, compliments of the fine folks at Schmaltz Deli.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. Back to Talen Horton Tucker and Io. Well, I want to know more about this. Somebody out there who is a high school recruiting expert. I don't know if Brandon Fryer fits the bill, but I believe that there was some indication that Horton Tucker was going to go to Illinois, but Io was either already there or committing as well. So now they're teammates. Mm-hmm. Rivals turned friends and teammates. Tune in. Hey, I got to have a reason to watch the Bulls. All right? We're going to have to give people reason to listen to the Bulls.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned yet, but Loyola got another top 100 player. Is that inappropriate?
Are there games on this air? No.
Okay.
They're...
I don't know anything about DePaul's recruiting right now. I don't know why you had to bring that up. This is a kid that's in high school now.
He okay.
Lalu, David.
I know.
Lalamere.
Lalamere. I'm very fond of Lalamere. I am a friend of the program. My niece went there. Mm-hmm. I have had some experiences there. Sure. They have a great basketball program.
I have a tremendous. Phenomenal photo of me dunking on my brother on there when we were younger men.
Dunking?
We lowered the rim to be
humble brag. What a humble brag.
As long as you don't look
I was dunking
and see
on my
the
brother.
Screws, you don't realize that it was down to about a 6-foot rim. I didn't say I was chumping. I said I was dunking.
Dunking.
Yeah, that's a great photo.
Mully in flight.
Hey, before Chicago takes on Houston on Sunday night, mm-hmm. we know that's a big game. Tune in here to The Score. From 5:30 to 7:20 after the Cubs game, you will hear your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. It's presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. And you can join the great Olin Krutz, the Iron Man Patrick Manley, and myself as we set you up for the game. And the pregame is phenomenal stuff. You will get ready for victory. And then immediately following the game, it'll be Mark Grody who will join Olin and Pat, and they will hold the postmortems instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse, and it can all be heard on The Score and on the Odyssey app. So I'll be doing the build-up and the positivity, and they'll be dealing with the outcome and the
and what? You picking the game right now?
I'm not picking.
You are predicting the outcome?
I'm saying everything's positive with the pregame.
Going in, it is. The hype
You'll
is real.
You'll hear me with all the positivity, and then Grody will be dealing with
Grody does a terrific job. He wears a lot of hats, and he wears them all very capably. And so he's stepping in post-game.
Because I have to go to bat.
Absolutely. Everyone understands that. And it's just great that Mark Grody is as terrific of a teammate as he is. It's important. And he plays a great role.
I have to go to bed roughly an hour and a half before I go to bed. That's what we've determined.
You kind of shut it down?
Yeah, you know, I talked to my doctor, and he told me.
So the last 90 minutes of consciousness you don't remember or you're not totally present for? That's good to know.
I've got to
hire. And how about the first 90 minutes that you after you wake up?
Oh,
the same is true?
That mainly is spent trying to get here.
It doesn't take that long.
No, but I move at glacial pace. I have to get up earlier in order to just get down here.
I tell you about the drag racing experience this morning, if I have to tell you.
Coming in.
Oh,
tell
my
me.
Gosh, on the Dan Ryan.
That happens often.
It was ugly. It was dangerous. And
did
it
you
was
just
a little
join
scary.
In on a habit?
I did not. I was being passed.
How fast?
I was probably going, in all honesty, probably about 75.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
and you were like
passed by two
still.
Cars going easily 110. No, I'm guessing here. It was loud, and it was could have let's hope it didn't end poorly. It was really scary.
The city could probably use the revenue from that kind of a speeding ticket.
I don't think anyone's going to catch them.
You know, my pet peeve is trucks.
Which
on
one?
Lakeshore.
Yes, Drive. I know.
No, this one, I think that might be my greatest pet peeve. And I like mentally list the number of cars that need to be pulled over and ticketed for being on Lakeshore Drive. And the problem now is Lakeshore Drive, as always, under construction.
It is.
Because it's torn up. And you know why? Because trucks are on it.
Yes, there's too many trucks.
Oh, my God.
There's too many trucks. I think that you have complained about that before. Last time, I think you blamed it on Reinsdorf.
See, that is totally unfair. Do you make it sound like, should we do this? Should we read his statement?
No.
This is exactly what he said.
I don't think so.
Jerry had a statement. We had a texter. He said, well, you know, why haven't you read the statement or talked about the statement?
Well, it was
because
perfunctory, I think is the word that I used. Yeah, it was perfunctory.
You know, everybody wants to interview him because he's about to set a record for the worst team ever assembled, and he's kind of declining. And so instead he has, you know, whatever AI or whatever, whoever's working for him put out, I don't know. Has he gone completely AI now? He no longer has employees. I don't know what he's doing.
I think what he did was he responded in a statement form because he had been receiving so many requests to speak, according to some of the beat guys. Darryl Von Scowen wrote that in the Sun-Times. Yeah. Other people alluded to it. So what you have is we're at September 12th. The season cannot end soon enough for this group. Ozzy, it's painful to hear him. You can see the anguish, and poor Chuck and Ozzy, goodness sakes, they have to go talk about, analyze, describe these games in excruciating detail, watching them is hard enough. They've now lost 26 out of 27 at home.
You want to know what's impressed him?
What's impressed him?
How the players and the staff have continued to work and bring professional attitude to the ballpark each day despite a historically difficult season.
He also ends with, I expect to have more to say at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm very curious where this, I know it's unrelated to the baseball reconstruction. I am very curious about the stadium plan. It is, because we began the season.
Because this free money is running out, right? All the state matching funds.
Yeah, well, we began the season.
20 more years of that.
One of the most optimistic, fun days of talking about the White Sox was the day they released the renderings of the planned stadium, proposed stadium, dream stadium on the 78 patch of land in the South Loop. Remember how we compared it to PNC Park and we talked about what direction home plate would be facing, and wasn't that a great day? You could count on one hand the number of days that we have enjoyed talking about the White Sox this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure you could get to five. I know you couldn't.
I'm going to say that.
What happened to that? What happened to that good mood you referenced?
I think you brought up Jerry Reinsdorf in his statement.
I did not bring up Jerry Reinsdorf.
You kept mentioning the statement. We had to read the statement. There you go.
I didn't say anything about the statement. I think
his statement included the line, I'll tell you, we're not going after Ohtani.
But isn't it great that we're going to get Billy Donovan in here? Isn't it great we're going to get Billy Donovan on the ninth floor?
I love Billy. That's wonderful stuff.
Of the Prudential Building and in the Blue Cross.
I wonder what Jerry
Blue
would
Shield
say about Billy coming in.
Performance
here.
Stage. Maybe Jerry could come with them. Open invitation. It's an open invitation. We would love to interview Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
We'd need an hour at least. So we could, if Billy Donovan is going to come for the 8 o'clock hour, maybe Jerry Reinsdorf could stay for the 9 o'clock hour. That would be great. Anyway, right now, you could be the sixth caller.
Here it is.
You want to be part of that? Be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670, to be part of the live studio audience. September 25th, it's a Wednesday, 6 to 10, Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Billy Donovan will be in studio during the 8 o'clock hour, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
I can't wait for that. It's going to be tons of fun. But we got much more to get to. We're going to talk to,
Dan and Marshall Harris.
That's who we're going to talk
to. Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris. They have a big event today. It's going to be a lot of fun, and they're going to have a lot to talk about.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.